Morning, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Please turn with me to Book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and verse 14 onwards. Book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that he walk worthy of the occasion wherewith he are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. The Lord bless this word. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank thee and praise thee for this wonderful opportunity you've given me to be blessed and be part of the beloved here, Lord, and Father, we thank you for choosing me, washing me before the foundation of the world. And Lord, yes, Lord, I cannot comprehend, Lord, as Paul shares, the breadth and height of what you have done, thy mystery of the church and thy love for the church. And Lord, unite us in thy love and bless us thy heavenly message. Anoint this servant and ask this blessing in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This morning I would like to share, as I was meditating on the church, the body of Christ, and the plan of God for the church, and what I need to be in this body, and what Lord's heart. As I begin to share a thought on this word, I'd like to open up and ask you guys, if someone was to ask you at work or anywhere, a friend of you, what is church? You know, what is the meaning of church? What would you say? What is church? Someone would ask you, what is church? Simple question. Sorry, brother.
Called out people.
Called out people. That's a good one, yes. Anything else, brothers and sisters? Yeah. Is that all? Called out people?
where his presence is, when the two or more people are meet at any place.
Okay.
And if his presence is there, that presence
is there.
Doesn't belong to any building or physical location.
Thank you, Brother Jit. You finished your chance. So we got two. Called out people. And I'm just opening a question. If someone was to ask you, what is church? You know, Jit said, called out people, where the Lord's presence is. Anybody else have any thought?
A part of God's community.
A part of God's community. Yes, that's true too. Praise God. Happy birthday, Raj. Oh, thanks. Thanks for being part of my community. A family of God. That's a nice one too. We're a family of God.
The Bride of Christ.
The Bride of Christ. Wow. Praise God. Uncle's book, The Bride of Christ. That's a good one, Matthew.
The Kingdom of God.
The Kingdom of God. That's a beautiful one. Anybody else?
The body of Christ.
A body of Christ. I mean, there's so many ways we can express. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23 says, which is as verse 22 and verse 23, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Just grasp that word. Verse just 23, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It simply means I in the body of Christ, we're chosen in him, as Jeet prayed, in him we have gathered today. And we each members, different members, but one body. And Christ Jesus, who's the head of the body, his fullness, we read about his fullness was in him. But his fullness is also is in the church, the body. The body is the Christ fullness in him and all in all. Yes, it is a desire of God that we'll also be filled, each one of us individuals, with different gifts, different talents, different things of Christ in each one of you. For example, today Uncle wanted Auntie to sing a song. We couldn't do that. Auntie has a special gift. And we couldn't. We are different members, but for one cause, one body. And it is a beautiful thing the Lord has done. And this is a great mystery. And it was a mystery. Paul was writing this book, Ephesians. It's mainly for a church. We can take it for individual as we are all members of the body. He writes the first chapter as he begins, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, the chapter 1, verse 1, to the saints which are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I mean, we all read this verse many times maybe, but just imagine that you're so precious in Christ that I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. You may be thinking, I'm nothing here, but God has chosen me and you before the foundation of the world. This is not just Paul writing imagination, but this is what happened. God had a plan for me and you. I used to like this verse before I was a Christian too. Jeremiah 29:11. I have a plan for you, plan to prosper you, not to harm you, plan to give you hope and a future. But I never understood how this plan could be accomplished. This plan has been accomplished for me and you in him, in Christ Jesus. A few days ago, we lost our dear rabbit, you know. We have two rabbits, and it's only been for 4 months. And I never felt it was so close to me until I lost it. And until Deepika lost it, and even Uncle, Auntie were all. But, you know, we lost the rabbit. And we had a fence, you have seen, most of you have seen our house. And it dig a hole, and it was so curious to go out. And it went out, and it doesn't know how to come back. It's on the backside of the neighbor, and Praise God. The good news is we found it yesterday. The neighbors called us. It was hiding in the back of our house. There was a shed, and it has gone into the shed and it closed it. And they closed it and they called us, and we went, and it recognized Deepika. And anyway, out of topic, I saw when I got the rabbit back, her husband, Brownie, she took the water. We gave her water, and she took the water and she wiped all her hair. And she had missed him. He had missed him very much. The thought, the reason I told this was, we having this small rabbit which has become so close to our family, Christ felt, before this world began, that I, Prashant Johnson, Raj, you, there was something Christ felt that I was His. He felt for me. He loved me. That was something which is, that's that love I cannot even express. That Christ loved, as Matthew said, shared this morning, that while I was yet a sinner, that is a fact, I was the worst of the sinner. But Christ loved me. He felt for me that I was His. And I was lost. And we read about today, reconciled. In Ephesians, we read one verse. Verse 5, verse 25 says, "Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by word." Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And by giving Himself, the reason of giving Himself is verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it. Without giving Himself, I cannot be reconciled to God. There's no account matched. It is only His righteousness. I've been accepted in the Beloved this morning. It is only by His sacrifice on the cross, the Lord has accepted. And this morning we prayed and broke bread. And one thing we remembered is the body of Christ. He only not died for me, He died for many. And the bread which we break is the body which was broken for many for the remission of sins. The blood was shed. The many bodies scattered throughout the world. But this morning we are from many different countries, many different states. But God did a beautiful thing in each one of our lives. That God has chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And Christ loved the church and gave Himself for us. I cannot come to this body of Christ by any other doors. This morning we entered one door. And Jesus said, "I am the shepherd, I am the door. And there's only one door to the fold. No one can climb up from anywhere else." I could not be a Christian because my parents were Christian. Joanna cannot be a Christian. Or Jerusha cannot be a Christian because of me and Deepika accepted Christ. It is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus clearly said in Matthew's Gospel when He asked His disciples, "What do people think I am?" And one of the Peter said, "You are Christ, the Son of living God." And Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall never prevail." Who is the rock? Is Peter the rock? And what is the rock? Jesus Christ is my rock. It is the same thing happened for me. It is the same thing happened for each one of you in Christ. That God revealed His glory to us, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. It is a simple message, but to understand it, firstly we need to understand who we are. We can only understand who we are when we know who God is. And simply coming to the cross, that I cannot make it by myself. And knowing that Jesus died as God in His fullness gave Himself, in His fullness. So that we could be full one day in Him and have this life. So it is by one faith we have been here to get together, and that is Jesus the Lord. It is not just believing God is there, that won't help us. There are many people who believe many gods, and Jesus is one of gods. I don't think that will help us. It is only Jesus the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. That's why Jesus came. And that's why we were lost and we are reconciled through Him. In Ephesians, Paul begins this thought. And he goes and he reminds us that we were lost. We were dead to sin. We were aliens in chapter 2. And he reminds us that how far we were from God. There were nowhere close to God. And Jesus has stretched his hand. But we were strangers and aliens. And I was questioning myself, would I die for anyone, or would I suffer for a stranger? Would you die for anyone, or would you suffer? Suppose someone asks you, go for 1 year for a jail in a place of someone. Would you do it for someone whom you love, maybe, or not love? But Jesus did for me and you. He took the suffering. He took the pain, because that is the only way. The judgment has to be paid.
Yes.
God is a God of justice. And he brings that in verse 2, verse 5, it says, chapter 2, verse 5 says, even when we are dead in sin, hath quickened us together in Christ. And verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I have been blessed. One of the greatest gifts is, of course, salvation and life in Christ. But in this journey, imagine if we didn't have the body of Christ here. It was someone from New Zealand who came and shared the gospel to me on the appointed time. It was someone from somewhere God shared the gospel. We all came to faith by word, by hearing of God. Faith comes from hearing by the word of God. And God has used the church. God doesn't have, you may ask where God is, where Jesus is. As verse 23 said, his fullness is in us. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are the representative of Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship. We are seated together in heavenly places. And he has placed us. This is a blessed, that's why we are called the bride, you know, of Christ. One day we saw the picture, we'll be together for eternity. We were reading Revelation, and God has kept us, which was eyes have never seen and ears have never heard. And as we go on, as we come, verse 19, on the same chapter 2. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grown unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God has made this chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the foundation, the cornerstone, the foundation through apostles and prophets. And we are no more strangers. We are fellow citizens in Christ Jesus. To get the citizens, Brother Sanjay worked, prayed, we all prayed. But how free it is, the gift of God. Through his Son, in him, we have this fellow citizenship. He made it all. All we had to do is receive and believe. Now, as the reason I'm going through this, first and two, is as we come to verse 14 of what I read before I started. For this, Paul says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of Lord Jesus Christ. And just before this, there was one more thing Paul said which was very important. Church was a mystery. In verse 3, chapter 3, we read, it was a great mystery. Gentiles coming to a church. No one knew that this. When Satan gave Jesus to cross, he thought it was all over. But God had a plan. It was planned. It is divine plan that we will be reconciled in Jesus Christ. Not only Jews, not only Greeks, but me and you, Gentiles. That was a mystery. And that has been accomplished. And Paul says this has been revealed now through the Spirit, through the prophets and apostles now. And now he comes in verse 14 and pray. And he says, for this cause I bow my knees, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that you may grow in his strength and be riches in glory, might be by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17 is a thought which I would like to bring on the topic, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he being rooted and grounded in love. This was the heart and prayer of Paul, that we may be rooted and grounded in love. It is only in love this church can be united in Christ by the Spirit of God, by faith and by rooted and grounded in love. And chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that he walk worthy of this calling wherewith he have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now what love is this? We shared about Christ's love. This love of Christ, which has been poured in our hearts, may manifest in each one of us in our daily walk, in our life with each other in Christ. It's not a love where we know how to be pretending to be loving, you know, with words. In Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, Romans chapter 12, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, above what is evil, cleave to what is good. Your Bible, some version may say, let love be without hypocrisy. You know, that love, that unconditional love, that love, the able to serve one another in love. Verse 3 of the same chapter, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, even one members one of another. Paul is reminding us one of the things, concerns in the church, as I was meditating, two things which concerns in the church. One is God hates pride. God always hates pride. And God, we should be careful that even in the body of Christ, we don't think too highly about ourselves. As we know more things or do something else, it's so easy, it is in our flesh. And Paul reminds us that not to think highly. As Christ, how he was a humble servant. Though he was rich, he became poor. You know, he was equal with God. But he thought that he would become like me, a servant. He was a servant king. God wants us, each one of us, in his service, not be leaders. As we go to Philippians chapter 2, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Fulfill ye my joy that he be like-minded, having the same love, being one of one accord, being same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The same chapter we read. There's a verse it says also that we've been not to think high of ourselves and also be able to associate with humble. You know, there's no caste difference. There's no caste system in Christ. And as I come to that thought before, here Paul reminds us to be like-minded. We all have the mind of Christ, that Christ may rule in our hearts. We have one purpose, one faith, one spirit in this body. And our purpose to love one another and love Lord. Singing, there's a verse says, let's meditate on the word, sing psalms and praises, discussing, encouraging each other. The church has, as I was coming back to where I was left the thought, someone shared gospel to me. And it was the church, the love of Christ was shown to me through the church. And as the Lord brought me to this fold through a brother, which was the purpose of God, it was Ravi who invited me, and Ravi from Adelaide, who actually encouraged me to come to this body of Christ, whom I never knew. And praise God, brothers and sisters, it's been a great experience. The church is a representative of Christ. Many times I've seen Christ in each one of you when you've served each other, when we have helped each other. And this is the heart of God, that we be one, rooted and grounded in love, serving one another and submitting to one another, it says in verse chapter Ephesians 4, submitting to one another as members of the body. There was a story in book called Philemon. We don't have time to read. There was a man named Onesimus. He was a slave. He was a slave to the master called Philemon, who was a member of, I believe, Colossian church. And Paul was probably a close friend of Philemon. And he was in Rome in the prison, writing the book of letter to Philemon. And this Onesimus, it's believed that he stole and ran to Rome. He was a thief, he was of no use, it says. He was a slave, was not worthy slave. And Onesimus possibly met Paul or his one of the disciples. And this thief, this unworthy slave, he came to know Christ. He came to know who Lord is, and he received forgiveness. And Paul writes to Philemon, and he says, I'm sending back Onesimus, back to you. He says, let's read that, just that part. Philemon, book of Philemon, chapter 1. Verse 8. Philemon chapter 1. It's after the book of Titus. Chapter 1 verse 8. Wherefore through I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such and one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefits should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. But for Perez, he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. In thou count me, therefore, as a partner, receive him as myself. If I had wronged thee or over thee, ought to put that and on mine account. Do you see the love for Paul's love for Onesimus? That's the beauty of a body of Christ. That not only Jesus loves me, but even the body of Christ has love for each other. It is a great thing. It's a mystery. I can only say that you may have felt sometimes your own blood relatives, you know, we got more closer to a stranger whom we did not know all our life because of this same faith, the same spirit. And Paul says, Onesimus is my son. And take himself like how you would have received Paul. And he's writing to Philemon. Take Onesimus, he's no more a slave, he's no more a thief. Christ has received him as he received me. And I was a thief too. I had stolen a ring from a jewelry shop. And Christ received me. And same like this, and Paul's writing to Philemon, that receive him and accept him, and he's no more. So in church, the body of Christ, we are all same. We are all equal. We are one body. And the Lord's heart is, as Christ felt for me, we need to feel for each other in love. And that love, we can only have that sorrow when someone has sorrow. We do have it because we love each other. And that we may be rooted and grounded in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the fool shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God sent the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are the many members, yet but one body. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which we lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and member in particular. And God has set some in church, first apostles, secondary prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, garments, diversities of tongues. Or are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles, having all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covetously the best gifts, are yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. Simple thought, brothers and sisters, a self-explanatory verse where Paul is bringing thought. As this body, God has made different hands, feet, legs, eyes. We were all just one. If it was made any differently, how we could enjoy, you know, the tasty food today we're going to have or we're going to smell. We are different members. God has given us different gifts according to the ability. But all these things have been done that we may bring glory to God for the edification of church and for the glory of God. Different members, but we are all one body in Christ. If we were all the same, it would have been so boring, I think. You know, if all the same souls, same gifts, imagine that. God is beautiful, isn't he? His work is perfect. And he's always perfect. And this is a glorious thing he has done, the mystery of church, that we, being different gifts, members, he has given his fullness in him, the body of Christ, the fullness of God, as we read in Ephesians 1:23. Paul was teaching Timothy, I was just, as we were remembering, the church means called out people. That's the first correct definition, as church are called out. And where have been called out from? Sorry, darkness. We were bondage like darkness. We remember the called out from wilderness, as Uncle was saying, the church from the wilderness, from Egypt. You know, the bondage. Everyone's seen Ten Commandments maybe. So much oppression. I had this oppression and slave. I was slave to sin. I could not overcome my sin battles. I was slave to this bondage and darkness. And Jesus, in power of Jesus Christ, I have gained victory in my battles. And it's only in the power of Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, by His strength, we can overcome our battles in day-to-day life. And so we've been called out to this marvelous light. The message of God, even in those days, was one thing. That's what the Lord speak to me when I read Old Testament. In Leviticus 11:44, God said, "Be holy, for I am holy." This was the heart of God Almighty, that God's people will be holy, for God is a holy God. Is it changed for message for the New Testament church? Peter says the same. It is written in chapter 1, Peter, we read, "Be holy, for God is holy God." We've been bought. We've been not bought by gold or silver, or we're not redeemed by, you know, $1 million. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And God is a holy God. The message of church is the same. So be holy, for our God is holy. As I was reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul was writing, as he prayed, and his heart was that we may be rooted and grounded in love. And verse 1 said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of your calling," or the worthy of vocation wherewith ye are called, "with all lowliness, with all meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another in love." Paul was also, I was meditating on Timothy. A thought, and I'll probably close. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in great house, they are not only vessels of gold or silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor and some of dishonor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee from your youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Paul was encouraging Timothy. his son in faith, that Christian life is a separated life. It's one is to be say, okay, we be holy, but how can we be holy? It is life, we no longer look back. We look to Christ, and it is putting off our old nature and putting on the Christ nature. Every moment of the day, we need Christ Jesus to do that. And Paul was telling to Timothy, in your house there are many vessels which you use often in church, in the body of Christ. If I and you need to be used, Lord, Paul was saying to Timothy that you will be having a sanctified life, cleansed, and a life which, like a soldier, will not be entangled in your face. And the thought verse 22 said also, as we meditate on the fellowship in the body, he said, flee from your youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord. So he was encouraging Timothy to be with the people of God who also follow these things, to follow them on the call. But so the word of God reminds us we should never forsake our gathering or fellowship whenever the Lord gives the opportunity. Because only through this, I myself, so many times, I've battled in my weaknesses and I've gained strength in Christ through the people of God, through the word of God when they shared, and coming to the fellowship. So Timothy continued his faith. Many have continued the faith and have reached many countries. You know, it is also about the church, is about growth. We read about be holy for I am holy. Church being separated from darkness. And we all do our bits in the body and the church grows. It says in Ephesians, we all do our bit and the church grows. That's one of the great commission God gave to his disciples, is go and preach the gospel to the ends of the world. You know, and that has been carried through. And praise God, it has reached many countries. It has reached Mumbai, it has reached Nigeria, and the Lord is stretching out his hands. And one day this work of the body of Christ will be full. In his full body will be full. And the only reason I believe Christ has not come is that our children could be also saved. You know, imagine your children was not in the body of Christ, not in this beautiful picture. There's someone else Lord is felt for, like me. Before the foundation of the world, there's someone else Lord is stretching out hand in the coming years. And God is waiting for the fullness of his body, and he'll present it one day without faultless, without wrinkle. And may we work towards God, and as Paul's heart was, that we may be rooted and grounded in love. And just the last verse, 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this way manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. May the Lord bless us.